ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you live from Washington, D.C. here on this Tuesday, June 19th, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You know, folks, I get a lot of mail. I have gotten a lot of mail over the last 25 years in my years writing for the Spotlight and American Free Press and now broadcasting here on RBN. And, you know, I'm glad to say most of the mail has been largely very, very friendly and very supportive. Every so often I get some really foul, vulgar piece of garbage that reads like a passage out of the Talmud. But as I say, for the most part, the messages are nice messages of support from people that have just taken the time to write a few words, and I appreciate that. Well, today I got a particularly interesting letter that really just made my week, made my month, I suppose, folks. It was from an 86-year-old man, a veteran of World War II, who had frankly gotten his knee shot off as a fighter pilot in Europe. And, you know, his injuries were so bad that this guy spent 5 years and 4 months in army hospitals recovering from his wounds. 5 years and 4 months. It actually may have been longer than that. Unfortunately, after I wrote the guy a response, I threw his letter away, but I wanted to read it to you here on the show tonight. But needless to say, you know, I stopped at that. I said, my God. I even mentioned to a colleague of mine down there at the American Free Press office, I said, my God, here's a guy who spent 5 years and all these months in the hospital. And then I continued to read. He had an interesting quote. He said, "But then from out of the ash comes the lotus," or something like this. I don't know what the exact quote was. But guess what, folks? You know what happened when he got out of that? Got out of that army series of army hospitals. He got married to the woman who was the head nurse on the ward where he spent much of his time, and they had three or four children. I think three sons, three daughters, and two sons, or something like that. The number doesn't matter. But the point is, you know, I wrote this guy a letter, and I said to him, "I said maybe for the first time in history, I've actually heard something good that came out of World War II. Maybe I should count the fact that my father survived World War II. A lot of harsh action in the Pacific, because, of course, if he had not survived, I wouldn't be here today, probably, at least not quite in the format, so to speak, that we have now. But needless to say, you know, I was very heartened by this gentleman's letter. His name was Brett Brummel from Northern California. And what was interesting about his letter, folks, is that he went on to say that there's nothing that he disagrees with more than these so-called preventive wars that he's been seeing carried out in the name of our country. And, you know, he says this severely wounded veteran of World War II, he said, support our troops, bring them home now. And I couldn't agree with him more. And, you know, it occurred to me as I read these very simple but very profound words from this wounded veteran, grievously wounded veteran, it occurred to me that there's a lot of crumbs out there starting right up there in the White House with George Bush and his Jewish gang of neoconservative criminals who got us into the war in Iraq. They and their supporters would call this man, this survivor of World War II, a real Holocaust survivor, they would call him anti-American. Think about it, folks. That's what we're up against, those of us who love our country and those of us who know that we have a criminal elite ensconced in power in this country. We're the ones that are called anti-American. Well, we started off with that thought. When we come back, folks, a little bit more along the same line. Stay tuned. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington on RBN.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com. Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Gentlemen, Michael Collins Piper here, coming to you from Washington, headquarters, needless to say, of American Free Press. And when I say American Free Press, I am referring, if you don't know already, to an actual newspaper that's published each week on Capitol Hill. The website for American Free Press is AmericanFreePress.net. But what's up on that American Free Press website when you access it isn't everything that appears in the weekly issue of the newspaper. A lot of good stuff in this issue. We have an article from, of course, Mark Glenn, talking about his recent visit to the 40th anniversary gathering of the survivors of the USS Liberty. We have Jim Tucker with an update on his recent visit to Turkey to cover the meeting of the Bilderberg Group. We have an article by Mark Dankoff, who also broadcasts here every day on RBN. Article indicating and demonstrating, as I've talked about on this show, that for some strange reason, maybe not so strange, the so-called Christian right in America, the evangelicals, the pro-Israel evangelicals, are throwing their weight behind the crookedest Republican of them all. Crooked ex-New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, one of the biggest crooks I've ever seen in the race for the presidency, and that is saying a lot. This is a guy who, although he's known as a crime buster, he opened up New York City and its environs to the most criminal, violent, criminal underworld network you can find. Jewish gangsters from Russia. They call it the Russian Mafia, but there ain't nothing Russian about it. And Mafia is an Italian term, and I'm telling you, these guys who are running organized crime in New York and to an extent in Los Angeles and in Florida, there ain't nothing Russian about them. You know, we also have another very interesting article I wanted to call to your attention. It's about a rally in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. People supporting Mayor Lou Barletta, who has been very outspoken in a fight against illegal aliens. And I can tell you the illegal alien situation in central Pennsylvania, where Hazleton is, actually it's north central Pennsylvania, it's as bad there, folks, as it is anywhere in the country. But anyway, the article is by Paul Tepetti. He's with the band Poker Face. Paul has been a guest on this program. You go to his website, I think it's pokerface.org. Maybe it's pokerface.com, maybe it's both, but just like it sounds, folks, Poker Face, check it out. He's a great musician, and he's a great writer, too. I think this is probably the first article we've ever published by Paul, but what's very interesting about it from my perspective is that Paul happens to be the son of a legal immigrant from Mexico. His father was a legal immigrant from Mexico many, many years ago, and despite his first-generation status here, Paul is a very outspoken critic of illegal immigration, and we got to give him credit for that. He's a very effective and outspoken critic, I might add, of illegal immigration. You heard him talk about it on this show when he was on there. So that's one of the features that's in American Free Press this week. Lots of good stuff, folks. Our regular column by Ron Paul, regular columns by Paul Craig Roberts and Charlie Reese. Lots of good stuff. I have a story in there, too. Well, folks, talking about the corruption and the war and all these things that all come together, I am looking right now, and I'm going to read this to you. I hate to read on the air, but it's so good I can't pass it up. It's an appeal to the American people from longtime former Malaysian Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir Mohamad. I was a guest of his, as you know, if you're a regular listener, I was a guest of his in Malaysia last year, just about a year ago at this time. In fact, I was in Malaysia as his guest. Anyway, here's what Dr. Mahathir has to say. The war in Iraq is getting worse. More and more American soldiers are being killed. Of course, Iraqis are being killed in greater numbers. This war was started by President Bush and supported by Prime Minister Tony Blair. They lied in order to invade Iraq. What has this war gained for America and Britain? Nothing except the unnecessary deaths of American soldiers, destruction of Iraq, and higher oil prices. There is no democracy in Iraq for which American soldiers were supposed to die. Invading a country today does not end in conquest and subjugation of the people. The occupying forces would be continuously attacked by guerrillas and terrorists. War is no longer an option for even the most powerful countries in the settlement of international disputes. Killing people to achieve a national objective is primitive and barbaric. Modern wars kill and destroy more. The majority of those killed are non-combatants, old people, sick people, children, and babies. War makes a mockery of our claims to be civilized, to care for human life, human rights, etc. War reduces us to being brutish animals. It is time we renounce killing masses of people in order to solve international disputes. It is time we renounce war. Defensive war would not be necessary in the absence of wars of aggression. Trillions of dollars would be saved as nations scaled down their war machines. Dr. Mahathir says, I appeal to the American people to reject candidates in the presidential primaries and election who do not reject killing people, who do not reject war as a policy option for the United States of America. Elect only candidates who categorically declare they reject war and killing people. If the United States does this, then candidates in elections in other countries will have to reject war. Americans, you have a duty to yourselves. You have a duty to humanity at large. Please do not fail in this moral duty. That's Dr. Mahathir Mohamad. You can find the text of that on the website of his Perdana Global Peace Organization. The address is perdanaforpeace.org, perdanaforpeace.org, and that's the number four. I'll spell it out. P-E-R-D-A-N-A, then the number four, peace.org. P-E-R-D-A-N-A, four, the number four, peace, P PEACE, of course, .org, PerdonaForPeace.org. You know, that very short, sweet, and simple statement from Dr. Mahathir, you know, it's just so profound and so precise, so succinct. You know, how can you put it any better than that? But yet, right now, we find ourselves in this hellish war in Iraq that is only getting worse. I guess the word only doesn't apply there, because only is a qualifier that makes something lesser. So we should say the war is getting worse. More and more people are dying, and yet we had this fool, and that's an understatement, this fool named George W. Bush, who proclaimed mission accomplished. Well, yes, his mission was accomplished. He brought hell and devastation to the people of Iraq. That's precisely what George Bush's handlers, his pro-Israel handlers, wanted. They wanted to destroy Iraq. Now they want to destroy Iran. And guess what, folks? They're eventually going to get around to trying the same thing with Syria and Saudi Arabia. And then, of course, we see what's happening within Palestine. We see this sad and horrible division, this civil war between the factions in Palestine, and we see these lying gangsters in Israel and these lying gangsters in Washington who did everything they could for the last 50 or 60 years to try to undermine the Palestinians when they were under the leadership of Yasser Arafat, who was the leader of Fatah, which, of course, is now ruling, and ruling, I think, illegally in the West Bank. But needless to say, now all of a sudden they're willing to pump money into the West Bank. But guess what, folks? Even though they're willing to do that, the fact is the Israelis are going to continue to reign supreme, and there are still substantial numbers of Israelis in the West Bank. So it's as occupied there as it's ever been. But the international community is being played for a fool. That is, those people who believe the lies of these criminals in Israel and the criminals in the United States that continue to support the gangster state of Israel that illegally occupies Palestinian territory and has occupied Palestinian territory since 1948. So despite all the nice rhetoric coming out of the Bush administration, it's just more of the same, and it's not going to get better. And I can tell you this much, the games they're playing now are only going to inflame the supporters of Hamas. And I will remind you, folks, that just because Hamas is in control, apparently in control, in Gaza, on the southwestern tip of Israel, there on the Mediterranean, former Egyptian territory, the fact is that Palestinians all over the region, both in the West Bank and in Gaza, voted for Hamas. They voted a majority of the Hamas people into the Palestinian legislature. But that legislature was illegally disbanded by the Palestinian prime minister, who's now setting up shop and claiming to be control, although, as I say, I think illegally in the West Bank. And if they think they're going to fool people around the world into thinking that something good is going to come out of this, I wish they were right, but I'll tell you what, folks, I know that they're wrong. There's going to be a mighty price to pay for all of this. And, you know, my great concern as an American is that no Americans have to give their lives even further in these endless wars for Israel, because that's what they are. Our rallying cry, folks, has to be no more wars for Israel. We have to say it loudly, regularly, repeatedly, as often as we can to as many people who will listen. Stay tuned, folks, for more when we come back. Then we're going to go to the phones. The number here is 800-313-9443.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E. Documents, plural.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Get your pen and paper handy. I want to give you an email address where you can write to get some further information on a very good book. And I'm going to be talking more about it in the future, but I just got a copy of it today in the mail, written by an old friend of mine who was an old Spotlight reader way back, and one day he popped into the Spotlight office, and in the course of a conversation with him, we both discovered that we were mutual fans of the late writer H.L. Mencken. If you don't know about Mencken, folks, you should know about Mencken. They called him the Sage of Baltimore. He was a great writer, folks. Name is spelled M-E-N-C-K-E-N, and contrary to some rumors that were put out in the 1920s and 1930s, Mencken was not Jewish. In fact, Mencken put out a book in which he published all the criticisms of him, and he had several publications of people who accused him of being a Jew. And then following that, he included some references to people who accused him of being an anti-Semite. Well, I've experienced the same thing now that I think about it. But in any case, this new book by my friend Bob Dealey is entitled Mencken, Nietzsche, and the Chosen. That is, the chosen people of God, the Jews. Mencken, of course, is the aforementioned H.L. Mencken. Nietzsche is Friedrich Nietzsche, the German philosopher. And this book is a very interesting analysis of the writings of both Mencken and Nietzsche on the subject of precisely that, what is referred to in the subtitle as their awesome impact on modernity and the seemingly ever-present Jewish question. Well, let me read you two quotations from some of Mencken's writings that I thought were very, very interesting. Now, Mencken wrote this in the American Hebrew Tribune, a Jewish newspaper. Mencken was a gutsy guy. He says, "My guess is that anti-Semitism will afflict the world so long as the Jews think of themselves as a separate nation. What gets them into trouble is their chronic aspect of foreignness. The only way for the Jews to head off anti-Semitism is A, to hang their present leaders, and B, to stop reminding everyone day in and day out that they are Jews. What if they are? Who cares, save maybe to wish that they would shut up? Meanwhile, the Jewish question will remain with us, shaming Yahweh and annoying every sensible man." Mencken did have a way with words. He also said this, and I think he was being very nice here when he wrote this. He said, "The Jews, I dare say, will pass out of their stage of extreme tenderness. It is a symptom of upward striving. It proves their position is still insecure. As they begin to feel firmer ground under their feet, they will show a greater tolerance of free criticism." Well, Mencken wrote that in 1941, folks, but obviously it didn't work out that way. He said, "Meanwhile, that writer who boldly tackles them despite their yells does them a service. They are not perfect. One can easily imagine improving them. And the way races are improved is by hearkening wisely to the words of those who do not like them." Bob Dealey comments, "In this case, a perceptive Mencken has turned out to be a poor prophet." Well, this is a very interesting book, folks, full of a lot of good information. I don't know how much it costs, but I can tell you this, it's 310 pages. In oversized format, which probably makes it roughly, if we're a regular size book, almost a 500-page book. Very interesting book, very entertaining reading, and I'm going to give you the website address of the publisher, freepress.org. Don't confuse that with American Free Press. This is just freepress.org. Or you can go to edupublisher.com, edupublisher.com, or send an email to Bob Dealey himself. His address is bobsmencken@hotmail.com, B-O-B-S, just like in the name Bob, Bobsmencken, B-O-B-S-M-E-N-C-K-E-N, @hotmail.com. Okay, we only have a minute or so left here before the break, and we have quite a few callers, and I'm going to go to them after the break, but I'm going to give you Bob Dealey's address again, his email address at hotmail.com. It's bobsmencken, B-O-B-S-M-E-N-C-K-E-N, @hotmail.com for freepress.org or edu, E-D-U, publisher.com. But I would recommend dropping a note to Bob Dealey and telling him you'd like to get a copy of his book, and Bob will drop you a note back, I'm sure. Tell him you heard about it on his friend Mike Piper's program. Bob is a good man, real good man. He was a very well-known wrestling coach in the state of Ohio. He's out of Columbus. Very, very well-known athletic figure in Ohio, and quite a writer, quite a wit, and right up there in the style of H.L. Mencken. And as I say, this is a very interesting book containing a lot of ideas and opinions and give and take, and I think you'll find it interesting if you are interested in what is referred to as the seemingly ever-present Jewish question. Not going to find many books like this, folks. A lot of good books out there on the topic, but very few books analyzing the writing and thinking of two towering figures in the intellectual world, H.L. Mencken and Friedrich Nietzsche. And, of course, The Chosen. All right, we're going to the break, folks. When we come back, we're going to the calls. We've got quite a few of them. Stay tuned.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We're going to the phones here, and just once more for that email address for Robert Dealey. It's bobsmenken at hotmail.com, B-O-B-S-M-E-N-C-K-E-N at hotmail.com. All right, let's go to our first caller for the evening. Uh-oh, it's Jim from Texas. Jim.
Mike.
What's going on?
You picked the wrong subject tonight because H.L. Mencken is one of my favorite subjects. And one of his most, in my humble opinion, and Mencken was a cynic, as am I.
Oh, yeah.
And one of his most famous, profound statements was, of what value is your opinion if you're not entitled to hold the opposite? And this explains the whole thing in a nutshell. Now, think about that statement. You know, if you can only if your only opinion is Sean Hannity's opinion, it means nothing.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to hold the opposite. And I must get in your case ever so slightly, although I've been advised by a certain country gentleman in the central France in a farmhouse that that you can't trust anything you say, but that's neither here nor there. Your statement when you started your well, I don't know what you'd call it. You started tonight, but you said that us people that love our country. No, It's we people that love the truth. The truth always comes before country. The truth comes before everything.
I think you're right about that, Jim. I understand what you're saying, and I think you're right about that.
Well, if I'm not right about that, I'm not right about anything. The truth always comes before everything. You must love the truth or you have nothing.
Well, you know, what so many people in this country have done is make it, we're supposed to support anything the government says. Whoever is in control of the government, it's quote-unquote our government, and we have to quote-unquote respect our leaders. But, of course, nothing could be further, dare I say, to coin a phrase, from the truth.
Mike, I don't have to respect anything but the truth. That's the way I've lived my life. I respect nothing but the truth. I don't care if it makes me look bad or anybody else. The truth is what I want. That's what I strive for. That's what I want, the truth. I want the truth. And the truth is that we bombed Dresden in March 14th of 1945 and wiped out 230,000 plus men, old men, women, and children, and just slaughtered them. And we're told to believe it's a great thing if we're patriotic and we love our country. No, I want the truth. We did this to those people. And if the truth hurts, I don't care. That's the way I look at things.
You know, that's interesting because you know, that's what RBN's slogan is, because you can handle the truth. And, you know, unfortunately, there are so many in this country who can handle the truth, but, you know, we just have to keep shoving it down their throats, even if it means we have to strangle them in the process, because it's so many of these people that can't handle the truth that are contributing so much to the destruction of not only this country, but Iraq and every other country around the world that's in the gun sights of these crazy lunatic Zionist Jews who are pulling the levers of power in this country today.
Oh, by the way, one thing that I just remembered, Mike, I read in the last day or two on the Internet, which I do daily, most of the day, I read that Mr. Benjamin, I call him Nut and Yehu, his name is, you know, because I think that's a more appropriate name for him. But he advocated in print and in person, he advocated that they should cut off the electricity and the water to the citizens of Gaza. Now, that in itself is an international war crime. You can't do that.
Well,
if you're a controlling power, you cannot do that. That's a war crime.
But they have become so greedy and power drunk that, you know, they're capable of anything at this point. And you know what amuses and amazes me, Jim, is the fact that if the Israelis do that, if the Israelis do such an offense against the people of Gaza, who are already wallowing in poverty, if the Israelis do that and then those people in Gaza strike back and kill Jews in Israel or anywhere else around the world, everybody will say, oh, isn't that terrible? Aren't those people terrible terrorists?
Absolutely. And the American public will buy it because I'm sorry, Mike, but the American public is stupid. Most publics in the world are stupid. That's why they're easily led astray. They're stupid because nobody will be allowed with three active brain cells to ever say or ever get around anybody else to say, wait a minute, what we're doing is wrong.
Well, you know, I tell you what, Jim, I'm going to have to move on here, but I'm just going to make this closing comment to you that anybody who is celebrating what is happening in Gaza and in the West Bank today, anybody who's celebrating and thinking that this is a good thing and that something good is going to come out of it, if they suffer as a consequence of what our government in league with Israel does, if any Americans suffer from it, I hope it's those Americans who are pleased by these events. It's a terrible thing to say, but I tell you what, I am so fed up with this situation as we have it that you know, the people who are contributing to this problem are the ones who deserve to suffer, not those of us like you and me and Bob Dealey, who wrote this book I've been talking about, and the people who listen to this network. We don't deserve to suffer. But the people who are aiding and abetting these crimes, they do deserve to suffer.
Absolutely, right. But we're going to suffer with them. But I'll let you go, Mike.
All right, Jim, I appreciate your call.
Bonsoir, mon ami.
All right, let's go to Brian in Pennsylvania. Brian, come on up.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, Brian?
Not too much. Something a little off topic, but actually it all does come around. Recently you had a phone call from a fellow who was talking about Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Israel, the Nation of Islam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. Just coincidentally, I was searching on the web and came upon the actual return of the whole number of persons within the several districts of the United States. It was actually the first census. It was commissioned by Congress in 1791, and in October it was completed and published in 1793, the first census of this country. And I just want to take a minute here and go over this thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think you'll find it interesting. The census was included five categories. The first was titled Free White Males of 16 Years and Upwards, Including Heads of Families. The second was Free White Males Under 15 Years. The third was Free White Females, Including Heads of Families. The fourth was All Other Free Persons. And the fifth category was Slaves. And I'm going to summarize this this enumeration that took place in 1791. There were 3,893,000 inhabitants of the United States, slightly under 4 million.
Okay.
And of that number, slightly under 700,000 were categorized as slaves, 694,000. That works out to between 1 in 5 and 1 in 6 inhabitants of the country in 1792 were categorized as slaves. And of those almost 700,000, four states had 85%. They were Maryland, Virginia, and the two Carolinas. And in two of those states, 4 in 10 people were categorized as slaves. Now, this brings me back to Farrakhan and that book that was written by the Nation that I think that listener, who if he has any interest, should take a look at. It's called The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews.
I've seen it. I used to have a copy of it.
But what it should be called is Jews and the African Slave Trade.
Exactly. They were being very genteel in giving it that title that they gave it.
They certainly were. And that book, if that doesn't open the eyes of people that want to know why Farrakhan and the Nation has the stance they do towards the Jews, no book will.
You know, I don't have the book handy, but for those who are not familiar with it, I can give this brief summary of it. And these figures are far from accurate. These are off the top of my head. But roughly what that book showed, relying on census figures and all sorts of records of the slave trade, it demonstrated that the highest proportion of the African slaves held in this country during the era of the slave trade, the highest proportion of those African slaves were held in the hands of a relatively small group of people in this country. And of that relatively small group of people in this country, I'm guessing that like 60 to 70% of those people who owned the slaves were Jews. So the whole image of Scarlett O'Hara and Tara and the whole thing from Margaret Mitchell's Gone with the Wind, although it's a lovely story, doesn't reflect reality at all. In fact, the Jews were the primary slaveholders in this country when all is said and done. That's what the book proves, beyond any question.
It's pure fiction, that movie, that novel. And
Gone with the Wind, that is. Yeah,
Gone with the Wind. I mean, it's almost shocking to see how intricately involved they were, and also it proves that during the Civil War, the Jew was not an abolitionist. Oh, no. He liked the slave business. He profited by the slave business. And anyhow, that's I just thought that was interesting.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm going to have to get another copy of that book and talk about it in some specifics on this program one night, because it is, as you say, it's actually rather shocking to read it, because it was interesting, the reaction of the Jewish community when that book came out. They were just screaming and shouting and ripping their hair out.
All the sources
proves it beyond any question.
All the sources used for the data in the book comes from our Jewish sources.
That's correct. I had forgotten about that, and you're absolutely right. Brian, listen, I have to move on, but I appreciate that phone call. That's something that I've wanted to talk about on this show, and I've never just gotten around to it, but now we have broached the subject, and after I get a copy of that book, I'm going to come back to it in more detail, so I appreciate that.
Right, Mike.
All righty, thanks for the call. All right, let's go to David in Massachusetts. David, come on up.
Thank you for your attention, Mike. I noticed that the gentleman there from Texas had brought up about the World War II period and the atom bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I want to extend that remark about this. I know that President Truman did not consult the military about atom bombing, Japan. He consulted the atomic scientists and some of his civilian friend advisors like Jim Burns of South Carolina. The atomic scientists were all very enthusiastic about dropping the bomb. The question was the location. That's the only question, which area was going to be dropped. And it is rather disappointing that Hiroshima was chosen. Of course, they said it was a big industrial city, which is true. But it was also the site of the some of the first Christians that were converted by the Portuguese in the 1600s.
That's right. Hiroshima was a major Christian center in Japan. Mm-hmm.
Now, here's another point I want to bring out about that. There's a gentleman, I forgot his name, who wrote some articles about the World War II period, and he contends that in August 1945, this has never been admitted by the American government, and I don't know why the Japanese haven't brought it up. In August 1945, the Japanese completed an atomic bomb, and it exploded successfully in the Sea of Japan. And shortly thereafter, Hiroshima and Nagasaki were hit, and the war was over. And a lot of their atomic research was conducted in North Korea, which explains why North Korea has a lot of atomic bomb advancement. And at the end of the war, that you remember that name, that General Leslie Groves?
I do remember it now that you mention it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was a brigadier general, and he was something like the chief administrator for the atomic bomb project. He was sent over to Japan, I'm sure on the orders of President Truman. He couldn't have done it on his own. And he had the Americans take possession of that atomic reactor, or I think it was an atomic reactor, and it was thrown into the Pacific Ocean. So the Japanese, that's proof that they had a very advanced atomic bomb project, and I don't know why this has never been admitted officially by the government of the United States that the Japanese had successfully completed an atomic bomb, and it was exploded in the Sea of Japan.
That's interesting, and, I was not aware of that. I have heard a story that the Germans, in the closing days of the war, had sent some of their top atomic scientists along with the plans for atomic weapons and an atomic missile in a submarine to Japan, but it was that submarine was captured, I believe, in the Indian Ocean. But that story I have heard, but I was not familiar with what you were talking about. That's very, very interesting to know that.
And now here's another thing about this the World War II issue. Let's see now about that. I think the Japanese also, too. Oh, about that World War II issue, yes. The reason some people have contended that the Japanese were never locked up in the Hawaiian Islands is because they were all agricultural laborers and they didn't own any land. It was owned by wealthy American, you know, white American Protestant plantation owners. And they were never locked up in Japan. I mean, in Hawaii.
In Hawaii.
But in California, they were locked up because they owned the property.
And well, exactly what they want. They wanted to get their hands on the property. And as this book by Gus Russo, Supermob, points out, it was this David Bazelon, a Jewish figure with contacts in organized crime, who at the end of the war in the Office of Alien Assets divvied up all those Japanese pieces of property and bank accounts and turned it over to his friends.
See, I didn't know about that.
That's the case. Check out Gus Russo's book, Supermob. You can get that book from American Free Press.
Okay.
It tells the whole story in there, and it's a pretty ugly story. And, you know, my best friend is half Japanese, and I had a great deal of delight in telling him that story because it's just another one of those little pieces to the puzzle. All right, Dave, I got to move on here. Thanks for your call. We have just a few minutes left, and when we come back, we're going to bring up Mike from New York.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Michael Collins Pfeiffer here. We're wrapping up the hour. We've got another Mike aboard with us, Mike from New York. Come on up, Mike.
Mike, how you doing?
How you doing tonight?
Great. Mike, you mentioned one of my heroes, H.L. Mencken.
Oh, okay.
He should be required reading for anyone who wants to know anything about the putrid underbelly of politics.
You're absolutely
and,
right about that.
I must admit, I while I was waiting, I looked up on Google for Mencken quotes, and I came across a great one, which might apply to Jim from Texas, the resident cynic. A cynic is a man who, when he smells flowers, looks around for a coffin. I mean, the guy had a great turn of phrase.
Yeah, he did. Mencken was.
He was incisive. Oh, absolutely. I mean, the guy. I'm surprised he wasn't shot. But anyway, you mentioned earlier on about how old Duce opened up New York like a ripe watermelon for the Russian mob. This is an example I gave to Rick Adams, and I apologize if your listeners have heard this one before, but Mike, you still there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, sorry, yeah. You know, Rudy used to have these big, you know, press conferences about whenever he made an arrest or he did this or he did that, and one of his major ones was when he cleaned up the Fulton Street fish market in downtown Manhattan. Okay?
Okay.
That's like the wholesaler where they deliver the fish, and it's distributed to the restaurants, etc.
Right.
So anyway, Rudy makes a big, Il Duce makes a big deal about cleaning the mob out of the Fulton Street fish market in downtown Manhattan. You know, because supposedly the mafia extortionists would charge $100, $200 or so as an access fee to drop off the produce.
Okay.
Anyway, as I mentioned to Rick, a few months after Rudy was accepting the plaudits of the local crass media, I happened to be up in New England, and I was waiting in a... I was waiting at a bar in a restaurant for a table, and I got talking to one of the local guys who happened to be a lobsterman who delivered lobster to the Fulton Street Fish Market. And I said, "You must be thrilled to bits that Giuliani has cleaned up the Fulton Street Fish Market, like thinking that he wouldn't have to pay the access fees." And he almost choked on his beer. His eyes popped out of his head, and he said, "Are you kidding me? I'm paying twice as much now. It's being taken over by the Russian mob."
All right, there we go.
Yeah, and that proves the point.
There we go. All right, Mike, you know, that story right there just absolutely, as you say, proves the point.
It sums it up in a nutshell.
Yeah, and you know, the amazing thing is people out there in the heartland of America buy this line of bull that Rudy Giuliani is some big crime buster, that he's some effective leader. The guy is nothing but an organized crime piece of garbage. He's owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Jews. That's the bottom line of the whole story.
I couldn't agree more. In fact, I was in a restaurant tonight, and I'm talking to a couple of friends, and they're all Giuliani, and I gave my opinion, and they almost choked.
Well, I tell you what. If that man gets elected president of this country, he's going to choke this country. And everybody's going to choke real hard when we get a few years of Giuliani in the White House.
Mike, a pleasure.
Mike, thanks for that call. Very important call, folks.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, very important call, ladies and gentlemen. It really says it all about what Rudy Giuliani really did. Should this man be president? I think not. All right, got to wrap it up here, folks. Apologies to those of you we couldn't bring up. We'll be here tomorrow night, God willing. Stay tuned for more with Rick Adams. You can handle the truth.
A message.